That was awesome. Mary and I had the opportunity a couple years ago to attend R.C. Sproul's church on Easter morning, and you reminded me of that experience. That was great, and praise God. R.C. would be proud of you. So, God's will for our life this morning is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and I'll read verses 1 through 14, and our sermon is found wrapped in here as well a little bit. Paul writing to the church at Corinth. This will be my third visit to you. Every matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. I already gave you a warning when I was with you the second time. I now repeat it while absent. On my return, I will not spare those who sinned earlier or any of the others, since you are demanding proof that Christ is speaking through me. He is not weak in dealing with you, but is powerful among you. For to be sure, he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power. Likewise, we are weak in him, yet by God's power we live with him to serve you. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. Now we pray to God that you will not do anything wrong. Not that people will see that we have stood the test, but that you will do what is right, even though we may seem to have failed. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. We are glad whenever we are weak, but you are strong. And our prayer is for your perfection. This is why I write these things when I am absent, that when I come, I may not have to be harsh in my use of authority, the authority the Lord gave me for building you up, not for tearing you down. Finally, brothers, goodbye. Aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your words of life this morning. We thank you for words and song and fellowship. Father, we pray and we ask that this whole day is a day that you are honored and you are glorified. And so, Father, we continue to pray and ask that you would guide this service and you would lead it so that your Son is honored and that you, in turn, are glorified. And so, Father, continue to speak through your word, through song, and through each of us in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's turn to page 44, and let's sing one more time. Great is your faithfulness. Well, good morning. The Lord be with you. All right, very good. How many of you guys have started school? One of you is all? Oh, you guys have been starting school? You guys excited then because you start this week, right? You're not. Start tomorrow. Well, you know, I'm a teacher, and so I'm loving it. It's time, right? You guys are bored at home, and you know what? Your parents are ready to get ready. Yeah, well, then, all right. Hey. No, it is not. Homeschool is good as well. All right, we did that for a while.
Homeschooling would be a little worse. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Hey, whoa, 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 whoa. It's not confessional time. Now, as a good teacher, I've been taught that we always review. And so I'm going to test you. So some of you were here the last time I preached about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Some of you may not have been. Does anybody remember what I talked about? I didn't think you probably would, but we talked about the heart. Talked about the heart. So my first question is where did we say the heart was? Where was it? Is it right in the middle?
No,
it's off to the left a little bit, right? So our heart's over here. And so I had you guys put your hand over the heart. When we say the Pledge of Allegiance, that's why we always put it over here, right? Kind of off to the side. Now, what did we say the purpose of the heart was? All right. It pumps blood. Now, why does it do that? Why do we need blood to pump through our body? What does the blood carry? Yep. It helps you to breathe, right? Or it helps in the breathing process. And so when you breathe, what do you breathe in? You breathe in not blood, but air. You breathe in oxygen. And the heart helps to get it to the lungs and then throughout the rest of the body, right? That keeps you alive. But you also have to get something out of your body. What was that gas called? Yes? Good. We get carbon dioxide out of us. Ah, so our heart is continually doing that. And so we talked about the importance of the heart. Can you live without a heart? You can't live without a heart, right? What's that? Yeah, for a little bit, right? That's it. Now, I asked you to listen during the sermon because the sermon wasn't about our physical heart. Anybody remember what it was? Yes. Ah, very good. Our spiritual heart. And just like we try to keep a healthy physical heart, the sermon was talking about keeping a spiritual heart. All right. Today we're going to talk about how to keep our heart, how to keep it healthy. Now, when you guys go to the doctor, they usually do about three different things when you walk in. What do they do? You haven't been to the doctor for a while? Okay, when you walk in, what do? They sign you in, and the nurse takes you into the office or to the room that you're going to be examined. And what does the nurse usually do? Does she take her? Yes.
She weighs you.
Ah, very good. The first thing she does is weigh you to compare. Are you gaining weight? Is your weight maintaining? Or maybe you're losing weight if you're sick. All right. And then she sits you down. And then what's she do? Yes. She listens to your heart to make sure it's beating properly. And sometimes they put this cuff. I don't know if they do this to children or not, but they put this cuff and they pump it up and they're checking my... What are they checking? Yes. Blood pressure. Because what that does is that tells me how healthy my heart is. And sometimes they take your temperature. All right, so here's your challenge today. Just like you listened last time about what the spiritual heart is, today you're going to listen to see what we use to look at our spiritual heart. How do we know our heart is healthy? We know it's important, right? You can't live without a physical heart, and your spiritual heart is just as important. And so today we're going to learn about keeping our heart healthy and how we do that. All right? So that's your challenge. So when you go home, your parents are going to ask you, what did you learn about the spiritual heart today? And so let's listen and let's see if you can answer your parents, okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for these young men and women. We thank you for a new season in their life, a new opportunity, Father, to learn more about your creation, a new opportunity to learn about your wisdom and your majesty. And Lord, whether it's in science or math or English, it doesn't matter. Your truth is there. Help these children to find it and to know that you are the one that this is all about, and for you and your glory. Help them to understand and to know that you're the one who gives them these truths. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys did awesome. Thank you so much. Well, there's your preview, and you kind of have an idea of where we're going this morning. And if you want, turn to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, and most of you know you won't be there very long. This is kind of the verse that we use to kind of bounce off. It's our springboard. And this is the verse that we used last month when I was here. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, now remember, if you were here, you're going to read from the... Well, let me read. I guess I can read too. From the New International Version. Now, the New International Version doesn't quite read this right. So I'll read it in your version, and then I will go back to the original version. Proverbs 4:23 says this. It says, "Above all else, guard your heart." for it is the wellspring of life. Above all else, Solomon knows the importance of the heart. Now let me read it in the English Standard Version because there's a key word that's missing here. And for some reason the NIV doesn't have it, but all the other versions do. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. And so here's my question for you this morning. How is your heart this morning? Why was this so important to Solomon? If you remember, we first of all had to define what is the heart. And so we talked about what the heart is: who you are. It's your inner man. It's the inner woman within you. It is who you are. It is your thoughts. It is your actions. It is what you do. It's your emotions. It is everything about you. That is what your heart is. And so whatever comes out of your mouth, whatever thoughts enter into your head, whatever you do, is all from the heart. And so when Solomon tells us to watch our heart, to keep it, he understands the importance of the heart. And so just like the physical heart is so important for each person to keep healthy, the spiritual heart is just as important to you and I. And then we took this verse and we broke it down. And we broke it down into what does it mean to keep your heart? And in the Hebrew, keep your heart means to put a guard around your heart, not once, but twice. So it's like putting a fence and then putting a fence again. Again, Solomon is trying to stress the importance of your heart. You have to not only keep it, but you must keep it and keep it again. And we talked about how President Obama, when he went to Watertown, how he, you know, the Secret Service was there a month ahead of time, making sure everything was secure. And we talked about how that's a great analogy for you and I about keeping our hearts secure and watching over our hearts. And we do it vigilantly. We do it moment by moment in our days. We don't let a day go by where we don't check our hearts. Why? Verse tells us, because this is who you are. This is what comes out of you. This is everything about you, is your heart. And so we need to keep it. Now, the other reason this is so important, Jeremiah tells us in chapter 17, verse 9, is the heart is deceitful above all things. It's desperately sick. Who can understand it? And so then we went on and we said, how do I fix this heart? And the answer was what? You can't. It's not possible for you to fix your heart. You need a conversion. You need Jesus Christ to come into your heart. You need to know Jesus as your Savior. And Jeremiah and Ezekiel promises. They promise in the Word that when Christ is our Savior, we are given a new heart. And that is the only way you can have this heart. And we talked about how many people in the world think they can change themselves. Many people in the world think that they can go through and read books and fix their heart. But the problem is, there will always be a leak. The problem is, you can fix it as much as you want, but eventually, what comes out is what's in. And since the heart is evil in itself, in the human, there's nothing we can do. And so we need Christ in our hearts to give us a new heart. And once we have the new heart, then the wellspring of life changes from bitterness and saltiness to sweetness. That's what we want. And when that heart has been given to us by Christ, the next question is, how do we keep it? How do we keep it pure? How do we keep it alive and full of fresh water? And that's what we're going to learn today. We talked about the physical heart. When we go in to the doctor's office, we know we sit down, they do weigh us, they take our blood pressure, they take our pulse, they take our temperature, because they're trying to determine how my heart is. And Scripture gives us a way of understanding how my spiritual heart is. And this is what we want to learn today. We know it's important. We know that out of it comes who we are and who we portray to others. So how do we test our hearts to know what's in it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, Paul writes to the church of Corinth, and this was part of the will for your life. He says this, he says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? And so what does Paul tell us to do? Paul commands the church at Corinth, and it's the same for us today. Examine your heart. You and I both know that we go to the doctor once or twice a year. And I'll be the first to admit there have been times where I've canceled that appointment. I didn't want to go. There were reasons, right? And we do that, and it becomes the same thing in our hearts, our spiritual hearts. This is hard to do, what I'm going to ask you to do today. This is hard, because it means that we look within us to see what's actually there. And many times it's easy to skip that appointment. Many times it's easy just to walk away from that and say, I'll do it another time. But we don't want to do that, because we don't want that salty water to come forth out of our hearts. And so Paul commands the church at Corinth, and it's the same for you and I today. Examine your heart. Well, what do we examine it for? When I go to the doctor, they're examining my blood pressure to see if it's high or low, my pulse to see if it's too fast or too slow, my temperature to see if it's too high or too low. How do I actually examine my spiritual heart? What do I examine it for? What instruments do I use? Well, Paul tells us, he says this, he says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. And so your first examination is this, am I in the faith? And there are five different ways in which you can examine yourself for being in the faith. Now, these are not all of them, but these are five. The first examination of your faith would be this, am I still trusting in Christ in all things in my life? Hebrews 3:6 says this, we are his hope if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. If we hold fast our confidence. Are you still trusting in Christ with all of your heart in all circumstances and things that are going on in your life? Are you still holding on to him? That's a test of your faith to see how it's going. The second thing you can test your faith for is, are you being obedient to Christ in all things? Matthew 7:21, Jesus says this, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father. Are you walking in obedience to God? That's an examination of your heart. It's a way of testing how your faith is now. Number three, are you becoming more holy? Strive for peace with everyone and for holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Are you more holy today than you were last year? Are you becoming more holy in your walk with Christ? Do others notice that with you? That's one of the examinations that we look at with our spiritual heart. Am I becoming holy? Am I exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit? In Galatians, we're told that the fruit of the Spirit is joy, it's peace, it's self-control, it's patience, it's love. Are those things that are coming out of my life, are those words that I'm speaking, are those thoughts that are in my mind, are those actions that my family are seeing, patience, love, self-control, kindness, joy, are those parts of my life? That's an examination that Paul wants us to look at. Is the love for my brothers and sisters of the church, is it growing? We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Another examination. And so the first examination we give is our faith. Do we trust in Christ in all circumstances, in every situation in my life? Am I becoming more obedient, more holy? Are the fruits of the Spirit welling forth from the springs of my heart? And do I love my brothers and sisters here at Hamline Reformed Church or wherever you are, your church is, more and more each and every week you see them? Examine your faith. Another thing we can examine ourselves for is found in Psalm chapter 139. David gives us two things in this chapter. He says, "Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." David says this, "Search my heart, search my thoughts." And so I want you to stop and think, what have you been thinking about this week? What are the thoughts that have been continuing to ring up into your mind as you go through the day? Are there thoughts there that just shouldn't be there, that are consuming your time, that are consuming your emotions? There's something going on in here, in your heart, that is causing those thoughts to well up here. And so we search and see, what am I thinking about? Where are my thoughts? Am I anxious? Am I angry? What are my cares that I continue to think about? What thoughts are just eating away at me? Or is there peace and is there joy in my heart? Remember, these thoughts start here. David also tells us to look and search his heart for anything that's grievous, anything that's sinful. What are some things that are going on in my heart that I know have come out of my mouth, or maybe I've done, that have been sinful? It starts here. It starts here. And so Solomon is so wise, isn't he? Because he says, keep it and keep it again. Because whatever comes out starts here. We need to check our hearts. We need to examine them time and time and time again in order to know what's there. Okay, so now I know what to look for. I look for my faith. I ask myself, what are my thoughts? I look for sin. But what do I use to do this? What instruments do I use? When we go to the doctor, they take out the blood pressure cuff. I'm not going to try to even pronounce that scientifically, because I can't. SPIG, blah, 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 something. They take a stethoscope for your pulse and for the blood pressure as well. They take the thermometer. Well, what do you and I use to examine our hearts? I'm going to mention three things today that you will use to examine your hearts. The first thing that we use to examine our hearts is this. We use the Word of God. And this is the most important. In Hebrews 4:12, please listen carefully to this. All of you know this verse. "For the Word of God is living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Now, many theologians will take this verse and they'll really try to tear it apart. And what's the soul? What's the spirit? What's, you know, the marrow? All this passage is saying is this. It's just saying God's word is going to go into you and it's going to work. And it's going to go into the inmost parts of your soul and it's going to show you your heart. And that's what we want to take from this. We want to use the word of God to decipher what's going on in your hearts. Now, I want to caution you. Use the Word of God as it comes to you. Use the Word of God in your devotions. Use the Word of God in your study. Use the Word of God as it comes. But do not start opening the Word of God and looking for things. That's where it becomes dangerous. Use the Word of God as you use it every day. And so when I open up the Word of God and I use my devotions, I read through, God will hit me where He needs to hit me. God will show me my heart through His words. But don't go searching through the Word trying to find things. And I want to caution you in this whole area, because people take this searching of the heart and they can take it, they can run with it, and they can use it in a wrong way. And so it becomes all emotion. We want to use it as God has intended, through the Word. We will use the Word. Why? Because it discerns us. It speaks to us. It's living. It's active. It's alive. And God will meet us where we are. We do not need to go searching for something. God will meet us where we are. And every person in here who spends time in the Word of God knows how many times you've needed a word, and through your devotions and your studies, what has happened? God has spoken to you. God has spoken to you. Do not think that you have to search for it. God will come to you. And through the Holy Spirit, He will speak into your hearts and into your lives. Number one, the first tool we use, the Word of God. We use the Word of God. The second thing that we use, you're here for this morning. Let me go to Acts chapter 2. We go and we listen to sermons that use the Word of God. We use good preaching to examine our hearts. We come here on Sundays, Sunday nights. Some of you go to Wednesdays. You use the Word of God to penetrate your heart. The best example of this is in Acts chapter 2. Peter is speaking at Pentecost. Let me read some verses here. 14 and 15. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice. This is after the Holy Spirit had come down. He addressed them, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day." And then he goes on and he speaks the Word of God. He speaks from a passage in Joel. He preaches from the Word to the people. And then I go to verse 22. And then after he uses Joel, he stops and then he says this. He says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it." And then he goes on and he quotes David. He's using the Word of God to preach to the people. And then, after he's done this, verse 37 and 38 says this, "Now then, when the congregation heard it," it doesn't say congregation, but I'm going to throw that in, "and when they heard this," the people, "they were cut to the heart." You see, good preaching from the Word of God will cut to the heart. And it will show us our hearts. It will show us where we're at. We use good preaching to examine our hearts. And the last thing that I'll mention this morning is this. What else do we use? We use wise and godly counsel of others. We use our brothers and sisters of Christ who have lived a good life and have lived the gospel in front of us. And we ask and we say, as I've examined my heart, or as this circumstance has come up in my life, I'm not sure what to do with it. Can you give me some advice? You remember your sermon last week from Pastor Justin? Do you remember what he said? He preached from Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and it was all about the body of Christ and brothers and sisters standing together and being together and helping each other through good times and bad times. And Paul says this, "I have suffered for you so that I can comfort you." And you see, that's one way in which God uses suffering in the church, so that we can comfort others. So that we, the path that you and I have walked, we can use to help others walk. To help them with their hearts and to get their hearts right, or to keep their hearts where it is. And so that's so important for us. Psalm 1, my favorite psalm, says what? What's the first thing? It says, "Do not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Do not turn on the TV for your counsel. Do not turn on the radio. Do not turn to your newspapers for your counsel. Turn to the Word, to the preaching of the Word, to your brothers and sisters in Christ." Proverbs is full of advice. Proverbs 15:22, "Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed." Proverbs 11:14, "Where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in abundance of counselors, there is safety." The hard part about examining our hearts in this way is that we have to humble ourselves. We have to go to someone and say, "You know what? I don't know what to do here." That's hard. But it's one of the ways in which God ministers through our brothers and sisters in Christ. So in review, what do we examine ourselves for? Number one, our faith. How's our faith doing? Number two, our thoughts. Number three, our sins. What do we use? We use the Word of God. We use the preaching of the Word of God. And we use the godly counsel and wisdom of others. Why? So that the springs of wellness, the springs of life that come forth, are full of the fruit of the Spirit. I think everyone here wants that. Everyone here wants to leave their children and their grandchildren, their co-workers, their bosses, with that thought. That's a man or woman of God. They are always full of joy. I never hear them talk bad behind someone's back. When things go wrong at work, they're patient with it. And they handle it with dignity. There's something about them that makes them different. They don't act like everybody else in the office when things go bad. And the reason why is because their heart is right. And that's our goal, for our heart to be right. Let me end with this. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, there's a chapter that talks about the heart. Now we go back to Israel. The first generation never got to enter into the promised land because of their hearts. Therefore, the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Or on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they're always going astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you, an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. There's one key thing there. The author says this, for those who hardened their hearts, for those who did not examine their hearts, they never entered into rest. And I'm here to warn us, exhort us, that if we do not examine our hearts, if we do not hear the words that were spoken, we will not have peace in this world. And what comes out of our hearts is anxiety and bitterness, murmuring. Everything that Israel portrayed in the wilderness will come from us. And so today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your words this morning. Lord, it's not easy for us to examine our hearts, but Lord, it is so necessary. It is found throughout Scripture to look within. And so, Father, I pray and I ask that You would help each of us to spend the time with You that we need to examine our hearts. Father, through our devotions, through the study of the Word, through the preaching of the Word, and through the godly counsel of others, Father, help us to look within. Father, all of us want a heart that gives You glory. All of us want actions that give You glory. All of us want words that give You glory. But it must start within the heart. And so, Father, this day, work within us. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning who has not received a new heart, You would give them the faith to believe in what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He died for our sins. He has forgiven us. And we have a new heart. I pray, Father, for those who maybe have not examined their hearts in a while and know that deep within, it needs to be fixed. It needs to be examined. That's okay. This is not a sermon of condemnation. This is a sermon of exhortation to change. Help us in that way. In Jesus' name, amen.